Do you ever feel stuck, like you're living your life on autopilot? Are you ready to shift into high gear and reach the success you so richly deserve? Welcome to the Play Big Movement podcast. I am your host, Sharon Lecter, entrepreneur, business strategist, and best-selling author. Playing big is not about settling for good enough or being comfortable. It is about reaching your highest potential and achieving your greatest success. Join me in my Play Big movement as I interview top experts in business, money, and entrepreneurship, all ready to serve you and to help you play big, be number one in your field, live your legacy, and create maximum impact. Welcome, everybody. I'm very excited about today's segment of Playing Big again, the Play Big movement, because this gal with me today, Lisa Copeland, we met a little over 2 years ago. And sometimes, you know, you just meet somebody that you just are soulmates. And I am absolutely thrilled to have Lisa Copeland with me today, but more thrilled because she's a dear, dear friend. And welcome, Lisa. Say hi.
Hi, Sharon. Thank you so much. I'm so honored to be one of your first people, one of your first guests.
Yes, yes. Well, I'm excited because so many people, I talk to a lot of women these days, and they talk about women being mean to each other. And of course, you and I have had that experience in our careers, but I think we're perfect examples of women today who really do support one another. And you were just on National Fox News. I was so proud of you, so excited. And as you know, we live in a society today where you want to seek out those women who are going to support you and be champions for you. And I will always be your champion, and you've always been mine. So I want to first start with a thank you there. So.
Oh, well, thank you. And I'm your biggest fan.
So for those of you that haven't met Lisa before, she's got quite the reputation, an incredible history of successful companies. She built a mortgage company, and then she became one of the top women in the automotive industry. And she's much more than that, but she really did lead the way bringing Fiat back to the United States, number one dealership in the world for Fiat. And she has taken what she has done and what she's lived in all of these companies and created an entire new book and program called The Art of the Big Sell. And I'm very, very excited about it. So Lisa, share a little bit more about your background for the group.
Oh, thank you. So, you know, what I realized in the last 30 years, you know, what I've done and what I think I've been successful at versus even selling a product is that I think I'm pretty good at mobilizing people, you know, getting people together behind a bigger idea than what the product is. And an example of that is, you know, in the automotive industry, you know, I've always been a champion for female consumers, because they are treated so poorly. You know, we influence 85% of all purchases in the automotive industry, but I know you and every one of all of my friends would rather have a root canal than go buy a car. Cars are, you know, if women influence 85% of them, you know, only 15% of the designers for major automobile manufacturers are women. So it's like the women are not designing them. You look at the marketing firms, there's less than 1% in advertising that actually handle automotive advertising. But wait a minute, it's like they influence 85%. So I can just go on and on about, you know, what's going on within the industry. So when I came back 7 years ago with kind of a fresh set of eyes and a new lens toward the industry, I saw immediately what the problem was. You know, it wasn't the car, it wasn't my competition, which is a funny thing to say as a car dealer, it was the industry itself. And so myself and my team, but me leading the charge, you know, we really started a movement. And the movement was to, it was to hire more women and millennials to prove that we could do great things. And my team in 2012 broke the world sales record for the Fiat brand. And it was to empower female consumers. And what I found is that once I, you know, defined who that enemy was, that common enemy between me and my customer, you know, they galvanized. I mean, we came together, and I could count on these women to come buy cars and to tell their friends and to be my evangelists. And I'll tell you what, once you can build that kind of following for your product, your service, or your business, everything gets better. You sell more, your marketing costs go down, but more importantly, you know, you have a great relationship with your customers.
Well, and I love, we talk, this podcast is all about playing big. And I just love what you did when you made the decision to work and bring FEOP back to the U.S. You said, where, you know, these high level women, where are they? And you opened a studio and with a runway. So tell us a little bit about that, because again, you went outside the box,
yeah,
you know, outside what would be the traditional comfort zone of the auto industry, and you created a huge success. Tell us about that.
Well, thank you. So I made the decision. I thought, you know, if we're going to come back, and I truly had a blank slate to work with, which is what the Fiat brand asked us to do. And I thought, okay, I'm going to take this car to where the people are. So I opened up the first dealership or studio at the time they were called in a high-end aspirational shopping center. So imagine, you know, you could go to Apple, the Apple store, you could go to Neiman Marcus, you could go to Whole Foods, or you could come to my dealership. And people lived in there. So that was a big piece of our success. But being a fashion major in college, you know, what I decided and the thing that I knew was the problem in the industry is that by the time people have spent 3 to 5 to 6 to 7 hours in the dealership trying to buy a car, they've had it. So by the time they're handed the keys to their brand new car, they're like, oh, this was so hard. Yeah, just get me out of here. So I decided to just turn the whole thing on its head. And I built a $30,000 runway down the middle of my dealership. And I said, I'm going to equate this to the finale of a fashion show. That's the best part of the show. That is when all the beautiful models come out, all the clothes are on the runway at the same time, the designer comes out, everyone takes a bow and they celebrate. Well, at the time that you get the keys to your car, the time you buy your car, that should be the finale. It should be the best part of the experience. And it really worked out well for us. And you know, unfortunately, we had to get rid of the runway within about 6 months or 8 months because we were selling so many cars. We couldn't even schedule all the finale deliveries. But you know, it was really part of our culture that we were not going to let our customer not experience the finale of a car buying experience. We wanted them to celebrate that new car, that purchase that they have just made, smell the new leather, and be excited when they leave the dealership.
So what I've just heard you say, because I think this is very, I always talk about businesses solve a problem or serve a need, but you saw the issue within the auto industry, not only of so many women making the decision and so few women involved in the design and marketing, and yet you saw a way to flip that, and then you saw the frustration of the buying process and that long term, which I just went through. That I just bought a new car and it's like, get me out of here, to be able to. And so again, playing big is about identifying those weaknesses and being able to step in and solve them. So I want to just applaud you because you continue doing that, because you've now taken yourself even bigger than the auto industry. You're now sharing that concept that you have with other companies. You've been speaking for corporations across the country about the art of the big sell, and it's all about creating a movement. So share a little bit about that.
Yeah, thanks. So, you know, I created the art of the big sell because it really is about that. You know, the world and the advertising space is getting more and more crowded. The competition is fierce out there. And you have all kinds of disruptors coming down the aisle. Amazon being the number one disruptor, even in the automotive industry. So how are you going to, if you are a middle-sized company, even a Fortune 5 or a Fortune 100, how do you hold on to your market share? Well, the most important person, which so many companies forget about, you know, it's not about your product. You know, it's about your customer. So how do you galvanize those customers? I mean, you think about some of the greatest companies in the world, Tom's Shoes, you know, with their one-for-one program, Whole Foods, you know, in Austin, I don't know about you, Sharon, but, you know, we call it Whole Paycheck. I mean, it's more expensive to do business there. But you see, you know, Apple Computer, that's the greatest one. You know, my dealership was across the street from the Apple Computer Store, and I would see people stand in line for 2 days on a product that they could get on the shelf in a week. And it's because they created rabid, loyal advocates, fans, champions, whatever you want to call them. And whatever they're selling, people are going to buy. And that's what the art of the big sell is that we show you how to create a movement, define a common enemy. Just like I told you, my example of my common enemy, of course, was the industry itself. It wasn't Mini Cooper down the street. It was the industry itself. And myself and my team said as an organization that, you know, women are not going to take it anymore. And we're going to educate women on the best way to buy cars. Whether they buy a car from me or not, that doesn't matter. And so, you know, so that's what we show companies how to do. And the first piece to that is, you know, defining your underlying purpose. The second piece, of course, is, you know, defining what is that common enemy that could galvanize you and your customer base. And then, you know, of course, how to message it both internally and externally. And then, you know, and the fourth piece to it is, you know, how do you execute that? So it's been exciting, and you know, and we've had a lot of great success with it, because that seems to be the missing piece in America today. I mean, even Amazon has built a movement. I mean, you know, I mean, Amazon says, you know, you want something, it's on demand. You know, you want it in 2 hours, that's great. We've got 3 hours, great. And so they have created a common enemy between us, the consumer, and everybody else in the world, and that's friction. You know, there's, you know, having to get in my car and go here and go there and whatever. And Amazon's going, we're going to take away all the friction. We're going to give you what you want, when you want it, how you want it, for the price you want it.
And the inverse of that, in fact, Mike and I, my husband and I, were driving to see our family yesterday. And we were talking, something on the radio came on about Toys R Us. And Michael, of course, is a well-known intellectual property attorney. And if you just think about the brand importance of that phrase, Toys R Us, because other people did R Us, you know, they were copying it for decades. And yet here we see this entire organization going under, where it had developed the billions worth of brand recognition, and now they can't survive. And I think it's because of what you just talked about. They lost sight of their consumers. And, you know, it ends up, when you lose sight of your consumers, you have a problem. And again, that's they were riding on their laurels and not innovating with what they needed to do to stay competitive. And they were talking to how not just Amazon, but Walmart and Target are going to be the beneficiaries. And they were saying, actually, Walmart and Target are going to be the bigger beneficiaries, because people still like to go in and see the toys, or they have last minute purchases. And so it was an interesting to listen to. And Mike and I were just saying, you know, that's it. In our field, we talk about branding, and they had such a strong brand that it's kind of sad to see it going on to the wayside. But it's, again, all about what you talk about.
Well, you know, and they are the prime, Toys R Us, you know, I give the example, I talk about it in my book, they're a prime example of just exactly what you said, that they stood on their laurels. You know, Amazon tried to cut a deal with them. And at one point, you know, they were doing some business together, and Toys R Us said, Amazon, we don't need you, because we are Toys R Us, and people will come to us. And what everybody's got to realize in today's society, especially with these millennials coming up, is that people know now what they can do. They know what it is to be on demand. I mean, I don't know about you, Sharon, but I mean, I haven't even gone grocery shopping in a month. I go to Instacart. I pick out what I want. I let someone else shop for me, bring it to my house.
Yep.
Why? Because I can. You know, and a year ago I couldn't, because it wasn't available, but now I can, and I don't think I'll ever go back. And I think every business out there has got to reverse the lens and say, okay, what is it I can do for my customer that above and beyond what my competitor is going to do? And I'm going to tell you, Sharon, I don't care what industry it is, it's all about convenience, and it's about, you know, getting them the product they want or they need faster than anyone else. And I don't even believe it's about price as much as it is about convenience, because we are so busy nowadays.
And it's also about paying attention to where the market is headed. And it comes back to the art of the big sell, and in my case, the playing big.
Yeah.
One of the things, when people are watching this, you may be sitting here thinking, well, I'm, you know, working as hard as I can, I can't play any bigger. Well, yes, you can. And part of that is stepping outside your comfort zone. And I had told Lisa before we started recording that one of the things I wanted to talk about was, you know, I used to say you either sell or you serve. And part of it is, you know, I don't consider myself the greatest salesperson. I'm a great salesperson for Lisa or for other people. When I'm in a team, I'm good at selling, but I'm the worst when it comes to selling myself. And so in the book, Think and Grow Rich for Women, I said, you know, a lot of women agree with me. I see heads going like this when I share that in a group. And I said, well, surround yourself with people who support you and will sell there while your self-confidence increases. But I gave her a heads up. I said, I want you to talk a little bit to everybody that's watching right now that says, you know, I need to be better at selling myself. What's the advice that you would give them, Lisa?
Well, I would give them some advice, Sharon, that I learned from you. And that is about the power of association. And I know that, you know, you've built your entire career on being very strategic about who you associate your brand or your businesses with. But I think it's the same thing in life. And one of the reasons that my dealership was so successful is that I created some very strategic brand alliances, you know, with local businesses that were like-minded that could send me customers and vice versa. But I think it's the same thing in business, you know, because there are just some people that are not going to be comfortable telling their own story. And I have gotten on to you about that. I told Sharon, if I was Sharon, I would tell that story all the time that I'd sold 30 million books, but some people aren't. So, you know, how do you create those associations that, you know, that you can play off of each other, that you can endorse each other, that you can help each other. And, you know, I think that that's what myself and Sharon and all of our good friends have done, but I think that's almost a course in itself, Sharon.
It is. And that's kind of comes along with surrounding yourself with people that want to support you. And of course, they want to support you because you support them as well.
Right.
So it's a mutual admiration society. So challenge yourself and ask yourself who's in your network, who do you trust and rely on, and who's helped you get where you are, and who do you need to add to that group? You know, maybe some people maybe you've outgrown some advisors or some people that are in your group, and you need to be looking for ones that can help get you to the next level. But it's something that I think all of us need to do an analysis on an annual basis, a minimum an annual basis, every few months. Where am I? And don't think where you have to get to the next step by yourself. Who can you align with to support you, to be with you going in the next avenue? For instance, you know, Lisa will meet somebody. Before we were on the show, she talked about somebody she's meeting with later today. And she says, if I really like the conversation, I'm going to connect you. And that's what you do when you want to support each other. And it's something that, are you doing that with the people that you're working with? If not, start doing it and start finding people that can help you. Because the business world used to be very, very competitive. And yes, there's still competition out there, but you'll see, I think we live in a world of abundance, not a world of scarcity. And I think collaboration is the name of the game. And it certainly helps you get to market quicker rather than waiting to do it all by yourself. So challenge yourself to think about your associations. What would you like to add?
Oh, I was just going to say, but you know, it has to be a two-way street. You know, you have to be somebody who gives more than you take, because you and I both know, Sharon, you and I have had a lot of people in our world that they just take and take and take, and they don't stay in our world for very long. And, you know, and I think that people that are authentic, I think they just do it as second nature. I think you got to be careful out there, because there's a lot of people who are going to want to align with you or your brand because, you know, they see the benefit to them, not how they can benefit you. And so it's a greatest advice. Of course, you know, when I read Think and Grow Rich for Women, and but you know, the power of association, I'd never thought about it in that context, but now, of course, ever since I read the book, I always think about it in that context.
Yeah, well, you think of one bright light bulb and then add a second one, and you get, you know, exponential results. 1 + 1, I say, is 11, not 2.
Right.
And but if you are there just to take light from someone else,
you're gonna burn out.
Yeah.
No, I think it's absolutely brilliant advice. I'll tell you what a great book, and how fun it's been working on that Think and Grow Rich for Women project, because it's so insightful. It's so impactful.
Well, and it's really was written to help people find themselves, and whether you're a male or a female, it's got wonderful advice in it from people today who have been through the ringer and bringing a little bit of the Think and Grow Rich age old advice from the 30s into the modern world. So yeah, it was a huge, very popular and very fun project for me to do. So Lisa, I don't want to keep you all day, but I want to make sure people know how to find you. So tell us how we can find Lisa Copeland, the one and only.
Okay, thank you. On my website, lisacopeland.com, or I'm all over social media, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, Lisa C. Copeland, and Facebook, it's Keynote Speaker Lisa Copeland. You know, you did Facebook / Keynote Speaker. And then Instagram, Lisa Copeland _the big sell.
Excellent. Well, that's great. We'll make sure we get that and put it in the comments as well, so you can refer to it and get aligned with Lisa, because she's The Art of the Big Sell is going in a big way because she's in a Play Big movement right alongside me, and we're supporting each other. We invite you to join the Play Big movement as well as the Art of the Big Sell movement by coming to our respective websites. And we are so excited. Thank you so much, Lisa, for being with me today. And I appreciate you very, very much.
Well, thank you, Sharon. And, you know, I think it's just so great, the Play Big Again movement, because I think people just get into a rut in life sometimes. And, you know, you get stalled and you get stuck. And just the fact that you're going to show people how to push through being stuck or life circumstances or whatever it may be, because I think that we need to play big until we take our last breath.
And sometimes we just get too comfortable. And we don't realize that we're just comfortable and we're not excited about life anymore. And I want to push you out of that comfort zone and get you back into where you're exploring and being curious and creative again. So again, come visit lisacopeland.com, sharonlechter.com, join our movements. And we look forward to having you be part of our team as we continue moving forward, creating, not just living your legacy, becoming number one in your field, but also creating maximum impact. Thank you so much for listening today and watching, and we'll look forward to seeing you next time. Thank you for listening to this segment of the Play Big Movement podcast. Please subscribe to iTunes and leave us a review, as well as join us in other areas of social media, Twitter, Instagram, and LinkedIn at Sharon Lechter, and for Facebook, author Sharon Lechter. Thank you so much and have a fabulous day.